Joshua chapter 1, and we want really just to think about verses 10 through 18, not look at every verse in detail, obviously. But verse 15, we'll read that together, just really a thought from verse 15. Towards the middle of the verse, we read, "They also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it." There was a man who had accumulated an awful lot of wealth through property. He had many hundreds of houses, and through the years they had grown in terms of their value. And he was coming to the end of his time, thinking about retirement, and he thought, well, I'll sell one of these properties. And so he, as he decided to sell this house, well, he went to the estate agent, as we would do. And the estate agent asked this wealthy owner to do something. The estate agent normally themselves, they would write their own description of the property. But because this man obviously owned an awful lot of properties, they asked this wealthy man to write out his own description of this property. Now, this man had never lived in this house. It was a property solely for investment. He'd never lived in it. So this man began then to write down and to describe this home that he had never lived in. He described the lovely garden out the back, described the lovely swimming pool, began to tell how many rooms there were in the property. And as he began to describe this home, he suddenly realized that this home that he was describing was much nicer and better than his current home that he was living in. What did he do then? He actually took the decision to take that property off the market, move into that property, and sell then his current property. Now, what did this owner do? Well, he had possession of that property, but he never lived in that property. So what was it necessary for him to do? It was necessary for him to take repossession of that which he already owned. Now, in essence, I want to suggest to you that this is the message of the book of Joshua. Really, the people of God, they needed to take repossession of that which they already owned. Now, remember, the people of God, they had been promised the land of Canaan. I want to suggest to you, it was as good as theirs. It was as good as theirs. God, through from really the book of Genesis, right the way through those early books of Moses, this promise, it had been reiterated, reconfirmed, reaffirmed time and time again. I am going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Just one verse to prove this, Leviticus 20, verse 24. Ye shall inherit the land, and I will give it unto you to possess it. Ye shall inherit the land. You're going to inherit this. It's a guarantee. You possess it. You already own it. But as of yet, whilst they possessed the land, they didn't live in this land. And so there was a great need to repossess that which they already owned. There was a need on their part then to really leave the last 40 years behind, to leave the wilderness wanderings and all the turmoil and all of the discouragement and all of the defeat that had brought upon their soul, leave the desert wanderings behind them and enter into the joy, the liberty, the fruitfulness of the land of Canaan before them. And really, the book of Joshua, that's what it's all about. It's about them entering into the fruitfulness, the fragrance, the blessing of all that God had already given to them. And in this chapter, they are crossing over. They have left the wilderness behind. They can see Canaan up ahead. They have in their minds visions of this wonderful land, this pleasant land, this land flowing with milk and honey, this land of blessing, we might say. But they needed to cross over the Jordan and possess this land. And in this chapter, really, Joshua, he assumes command and he gathers all of the people together. There were literally millions of people. And they're now standing there at the River Jordan. And he really, essentially, the message of chapter 1 is this: get ready. Be prepared. You need to ready yourself before you can enter into Canaan and enter into blessing and enter into that which God has already given you. You need to prepare yourself for that which lies up ahead. And child of God, there's a wonderful type here. And the type here is this. Here are the people of God, and they're crossing over into what is blessing before them. Yes, there are challenges. Yes, there are giants. Yes, there are cities like Jericho and Ai that need defeated. There are kings that need defeated. But ultimately, it's blessing and bliss for them. Child of God, here is Joshua gathering them around, telling them to be ready. Who does Joshua represent? The term Joshua, really in the Hebrew, it means rescuer, it means liberator, it means savior. And so what you have here is Jesus Christ gathering this congregation, the people of God, a blood-bought people, as this people were. They were delivered by the blood of the Lamb. They had been set free. And now he is gathering you together, this congregation together, you as an individual, and he's telling you to get ready. He's telling you to prepare to, as you enter into 2020, as you cross over, as you desire blessing, and as I know you desire blessing for you individually and for us congregationally, we need to be prepared. You need to be prepared. That's really the challenge here. And I wonder today, as you look back in 2019, there are things that would have held you back. There were challenges, but the Lord's telling you, leave them behind. Leave all of the defeat, leave all of the disappointments, the discouragement behind in 2019. And as you cross over into 2020, as you seek to know the blessing of God, it's time to prepare to enter into that which God has promised you. So I want to think this morning for a few moments about crossing over into 2020. Crossing over into 2020. First thing I want you to see are the commands in crossing over. The commands in crossing over. Verses 10 and 11. We read, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. I want you to notice there's a chain of command here. The command firstly is given from God to Joshua, and Joshua, having received this command in the early verses of the chapter, he then passes on this command to the officers and the elders. And really he tells them, verse 10, to pass through the host and command the people, saying. So he tells the officers, the elders, the chiefs, to walk through the host. Remember, there's literally a couple of million people. Commentators believe between 2 or 3 million people here. There's no way they were going to listen to Joshua speak all of these commands. So logically, they were to tell the officers, they were to pass through, walk through, go through the people, and tell them to be ready. They were commanding the people to get ready because in 3 days they were going to pass the Jordan. Now in these commands, I want you to see two things. I want you to see their diet in this command. The diet in this command, verse 11, prepare you victuals. The term victuals, it really, the Hebrew word, it has the idea of game, and it refers to meat obtained by hunting. It's not just food generally. It's something more specific. It's meat. Meat. And it was meat obtained from hunting. Now, at this stage here were millions of people, and they were commanded to cross the Jordan soon. So what did they do? Well, you know as well as I do, an army marches on its stomach. They had to prepare food. They couldn't just cross over into the land, face all of these giants with no food in their stomachs, because they would faint. Now, we must remember that up until this point, they had already been eating. But what had they been eating? They had been fed, they had been sustained by the manna which they had in the wilderness. Now, the manna, whilst it sustained them, it didn't necessarily strengthen or satisfy them. In the wilderness wanderings, you read of this time and time again. The people, they command about the manna that God had sent them. They wanted something more fleshy like what that they had in Egypt. They wanted a good meal. So this manna, it only sustained them. It didn't provide strength or it didn't satisfy them. But they were about to enter into war. They needed that which was strong to go into Canaan and to pull down the strongholds of Jericho and so on. And so here he commands them to change their diet as they crossed over and entered into Jordan. It was off the manna, off that which just sustained them, and on to the meat, that which strengthened and satisfied. And child of God, as you cross over into 2020, and you desire to know the blessing of God in your life, the command here is this. The command is to alter your spiritual diet. You want God to bless you. You desire God to bless you. You even expect God to bless you. As you face 2020, then the challenge is this. It is to change your spiritual diet. To feed on Scripture. And to feed on, of course, the Christ of the Scripture. What does this world provide? This world provides spiritual junk food. And it will not strengthen. Yes, it might sustain. It's like the natural realm. Junk food, it just keeps you going, isn't that right? But it doesn't really provide that lasting satisfaction. It doesn't really give you strength for your daily tasks, your daily rigor, your daily routine. And it is exactly the same spiritually. You want to know strength for the battle in 2020. Then you might. There might need to be a change of spiritual diet. Challenge is this, child of God. How long do we spend in our Scripture? How long did you spend in Scripture in 2019? The Lord saying to you, it's time to get off the milk and time to get into the meat of the Word of God. To look at things that you've never thought about before. To try and behold Christ in a way that you have never seen Him before. For example, maybe you've seen Christ in the Gospels. You've confined yourself to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, the Lord's telling you to look at other books like Peter. Maybe like James. He is challenging you to strengthen yourself for the battle. Even Joshua, in this chapter, what was the command? The command was given in verse 8 as he would lead the people that the book of the law would not depart out of his mouth day or night, but he would meditate in it continually. And so there's the command given to the leader to feed himself on the book of the law. And if it is with the leader, so it is also with the laity. The Lord is telling you this. And you know what it's like this time of year. We all make those modifications to your diet as we start a new year. If I just tweak this, maybe a pound or two will come off. If I just tweak that, then maybe we'll get down a gene size or whatever it might be. We're all at it at this time of year. Most of us anyway. And yet the challenge is this. It's the spiritual diet. We need to take that which is stronger for us to strengthen us for entering into blessing. 2020. Heard about a traveler in the desert and he got off his camel to eat a snack. As he was going through the desert, he had fallen in hard times. He just had 3 apples left in his rucksack. And so it was night time, so he got out his little lantern so he could see what he was eating. The first time he pulled out one of the apples, but as he looked at the apple, the heat had got to it. It was rotten. It was not good for eating, so he threw it away. He took out his second apple from his rucksack, and he looked at it, but there was worms through the apple. He threw it away again. The third time he took out the apple. But before he looked at the apple, he blew out his lantern. He threw his old lantern away, and he ate the apple anyway. And so often we can be guilty of this in the spiritual realm. You don't think about what you consume. You just close your eyes and consume it, not knowing what you're really eating. Oh, the Lord is teaching you today that what we eat spiritually, how we feed our souls, it's so important. If we want to enter into blessing, we must be wary of our diet. So there was their diet here. There's also the delay in this command. Verse 11, we read, "For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land." Think about it. Millions of people, they've been waiting 40 years to enter into Canaan. Now they have come to the very brink of the Jordan. But the command here is to prepare you victuals, to get meat ready, because you're going to cross over in 3 days. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was there on that occasion, I would be looking over into Canaan, and I'd be saying to Joshua, what about now? We have waited 40 years for this. I have waited for a land flowing with milk and honey for 40 years. I want to go now. That's how I would think in the natural man. But the command is given here to wait for 3 days. Why were they to wait for 3 days? Well, chapter 3 of Joshua tells us that they were literally standing on the banks of the River Jordan. They were looking at the River Jordan. The River Jordan was known for being very deep at that time, and it was even known for often bursting its banks. Jeremiah 12, verse 5, "How will you do in the swelling of Jordan?" So Jordan was known for being a very deep river, and a river that was always bursting its banks. You imagine 2 to 3 million people looking at this deep river. They would have recognized, there's no way, humanly speaking, that we can pass this. There is absolutely no way that we can cross this. 2 million people, remember, they have children. They have just prepared meat under the command of God. And they have to cross a literal river. I mean, you imagine crossing the River Foyle. You imagine it. God has commanded you to do it. You imagine trying to do it. You know what it's like when you try to gather up everything, gather up the children, all of the wares and so on, and go on a journey. It's difficult. So as they would have looked at this river before them, they would have recognized two things. That firstly, this is humanly absolutely impossible. But secondly, God has promised that we will cross. Verse 11, "Ye shall cross the Jordan." And for 3 days, the command was to wait. Why? To recognize that we are totally dependent on the Lord here. Humanly speaking, we'll not get through this. Humanly speaking, we cannot pass this. Humanly speaking, we cannot engineer our way through this river. It's something we need to totally depend on the Lord for. And so, when you think about crossing over into 2020, you too need to reach this point. Absolute dependence upon the Lord for everything. There are giants as you look up ahead and as you look into the valley of blessing of 2020. And the Lord is giving you command, cross over. But you see the obstacles. You see the challenges. You see, humanly speaking, situations which you know humanly cannot be rectified or altered. The Lord's telling you today to wait. Wait upon me. He's telling you to wait upon me because it is then when you will renew your strength. It is then when you will rise up as an eagle and you will soar above those difficulties. Because in you, your resources, they are limited and they are faltering. But in Jesus Christ, the captain of your salvation, you have unlimited and you have eternal resources at your disposal. And he will see you through. So as you cross over into 2020, the Lord's saying, wait upon me. Yes, as you look at the river, it may seem absolutely impossible. But wait upon me. Because I have promised that I have laid up blessing for you. And I will see you through that Jordan. So there were the commands in crossing over. I want you to see, secondly, the challenge when crossing over. The challenge when crossing over. In verses 12 through 15, Joshua, he challenges a particular grouping within the children of Israel. He turns his attention to 2.5 tribes within the children of Israel. Remember, there are 12 tribes of Israel. But he turns his attention to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. And he turns his attention to them because they had permission to remain on the east of the Jordan. They had permission to stay where they were. They were not going to cross over the Jordan. Their land was on the other side of the Jordan. Yet there was the challenge to these 2.5 tribes. Look at verses 13 and 14. "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, 'The Lord your God hath given you rest, given you this land. Your wives, little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you in this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them.'" Verse 13, Joshua tells them to remember the word. Remember the word. And he is telling these 2.5 tribes to remember the promise they made in Numbers 32. Essentially, the promise was then when they were getting their land on the east of the Jordan, they saw this land was good for farming, good for living, good for rearing children and so on. So this was their allotment on the east of Jordan. But they made a promise that come that time when they would cross over the Jordan, that they would come and help their fellow brethren. And that's why Joshua appeals to them to remember the word. He's saying, remember the promise you made before. And verse 14, he sums it up. And help them. And help them. He's saying, come over and help. He's saying, you promised when these men were crossing over and entered into Jordan, you men, you promised that you would come and help them. Now make good on your promise. And child of God, the challenge comes very close to your heart then today. As you cross over into 2020, what is the Lord saying? He is challenging you to remember the word, to remember the promise. You think about 2019. You think perhaps about promises and vows that you made before God. Maybe you even made it this very Sabbath last year, the first Sabbath of the new year. Maybe perhaps you've even made a promise at the watch night service. You have promised to be more faithful. Perhaps you have promised to be more fervent in your service for Jesus Christ. And the challenge it is to your heart today, remember the word. Remember that which you have promised me. Scripture tells us, when thou vowest a vow, defer not to pay it. In other words, when you make a vow before God, ensure you pay and go through with that vow. Even think of these 2.5 tribes. They were really on the fringes. They were on the borderlines of the work of God. And maybe 2019 has seen you on the borderlines, on the fringes of the work of God. And the challenge today, it rings true. Come over and help us. Christ here is saying to you, you need to come and help. As I look forward this year, there are aspects of the work of God. And I say to you personally, come and help us. We need help. There are certain things that we would like to accomplish as a congregation, but it needs help. It needs activity. It needs fervency. Come over and help. Numbers 32, the challenge is put in this way. It's very, very forceful. The challenge is put by Moses to these 2.5 tribes. Verse 6, Numbers 32. Shall your brethren go to war and ye sit here? Shall your brethren go to war and ye sit here? That's a little bit like the challenge of conscription about 100 years ago, isn't it? Your king and country needs you. And here Christ is saying that there are brethren and they have given themselves to the work of Christ. Perhaps as of yet, you haven't joined them. Come and join this year. You think of Acts 16. There was a need in Macedonia, Philippi. Really the area of Macedonia. Paul had been busy already. He had already started numerous churches in the Asia Minor area. And yet there was that vision in Acts 16. What was that vision? What was that man pleading with Paul to do? Come out, come over and help us. Come into Macedonia. In the context of doing well and sowing and reaping. You read in Galatians 6, verse 10, that we, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, saying, as you have been given opportunity, as God gives you talents, as God gives you the opportunity to serve him, do good. Do good. See, it's one thing to get an opportunity. It's another thing to grasp that opportunity, to take it with both hands and use what God has given you. Well, the Lord's telling you, remember the word. Remember the word. Remember former promises. Perhaps you've gone on and you've progressed with the Lord, but you made vows when you were younger, much younger, to be faithful, to be fervent, to be unabating in terms of zeal for Christ and your service. Remember the word. In a local village, there was a man known for being extremely lazy. One day, the local minister bumped into him and he got the surprise of his life. He saw this man running. The minister said, sir, I've never seen you run so fast before. His name was David. I've never seen you run so fast before. Why on earth are you running? He said, I'm sorry, sir, I can't wait. I've heard of work coming. The minister was shocked and he said, good success to you. What kind of work is it? The man replied, it's the washing for my wife. I'm on the run from the work, not to the work. And as you cross over into 2020, Jesus Christ is saying to you, don't run from the work, run to the work. Get involved, come over and help us. So there was the commands in crossing over and the challenge when crossing over. Lastly and quickly, I want you to think about the commitment to crossing over. The commitment to crossing over. You really see this commitment in verses 16 through 18, but it's summarized in verse 16. The people, in general, they're now responding. It's not just the 2.5 tribes, but it's the people in general. They're responding to the challenge of Joshua, the opening challenge. Verse 16, we read, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Really saying, Joshua, whatever you ask me to do, I'll do it. And I want you to just picture the scene that there are 2 to 3 million people and they are sounding up in one joined note of praise and joined note of response. Joshua, all you command me, not just some, but all you command us as a people, we will do, and where you send us, we will go. Now, as you think about that, think about this vow they're making. Whatever you do, I'll do it. Think of the implications of this. Joshua, as you read through the book, he would devise the strategy for success. He was the one who drew up the blueprints. Yes, they were given by God, but he was the one who dispensed that blueprint to the people. So the people, they were trusting his God-given leadership. They were trusting him. They maybe didn't agree with the plan to walk around Jericho 7 times. And then on the last day, walk around it 7 times in the same day. I'm sure there were people in that 2 to 3 million. And they thought, well, I'll do it my way. But no, no, no. They did everything that was asked of them by Joshua, even if they didn't agree or didn't understand. And you think about this as well. The second half of the book, Joshua actually allots them where they will live. And there was certain ground in Canaan, and it would have been more pleasant to the eye, easier to work on. Remember, Israel were a farming community. And there was a land given to the different tribes. And perhaps, as you arrived at your allotment, as you arrived at your allotted piece of land, maybe you're thinking to yourself, I wish I had the land of Zebulun or the land of Naphtali. But no, no. You see what they said in verse 16? Whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Everything then, where they even lived, what they would do, it fell under this desire to be absolutely committed to that which Joshua asked them to do. Verse 17, as we hearken to Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. The challenge is very clear, child of God, as you cross over to 2020. You desire his smile, you desire his favor, you desire his mercy upon your endeavors, then this needs to be your response to Christ. Christ is described in Scripture as the captain of your salvation. He is described in the book, I think it's Isaiah 53, it's in Isaiah anyway. He is called a commander and a leader of the people. So here is Jesus Christ in Joshua, your heavenly Joshua. He's asked you to be obedient. He's asked you to, as it were, change the spiritual diet. He's asked you to wait upon him for strength. Will you respond like the people? All you command me, Christ, I'll do. Whithersoever you sent me, Christ, I'll go. You've asked me to support your work. You've asked me to serve you. You've asked me to make necessary preparations in crossing over. Christ, I'll do it. Will you respond in this year? To leave the discouragement and the difficulties of 2019 behind. Cross over into 2020. Say, Lord, I'm with you. 100%. Whatever you ask me to do, Christ, I'm with you. You think of the words of Christ in Luke 6, verse 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We're so apt to do that, aren't we? To call Christ our Lord. And yet not behave as if he is our Lord in all things. Reverend Joyett, he spoke in a meeting of a sight he saw that he never would forget. He spoke of a time when, much younger in his life, he saw 70 Salvation Army officers receiving their commission. And they stood before William Booth. And at this stage, they didn't even know where they were going. They didn't know the country, whether it was Africa, China, Brazil, Japan, but 70 men, and they were waiting just to be told in a line, a regimented line, to receive their commission. And whenever they received their commission, each soldier unreservedly, they saluted him. And they then went their separate ways. What were they saying? They're saying, "You're sending me to Japan, sending me to China, sending me to Africa, whatever it is, I'll go." What they're really doing is they are exemplifying Joshua 1:16. "All thou commandest us, we will do. Whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go." May the Lord give us this spirit this year as we cross over into 2020 and desire to know the blessing of God. May the Lord then write his word upon your hearts today.